Welcome to this edition of Comes Naturally. Going over the business first, go to our Facebook page. Like it. Go to iTunes, subscribe to it, and also rate and review us. And you can go to Twitter and follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is?
At Comes Natural Pod. At Comes Natural Pod.
I believe that's correct.
At Comes Natural Pod. Yep.
All right. Let's start the show.
Boom! Welcome to Comes Naturally. We are
Joe.
I am Cody. Welcome to today's show. And in lieu of Mike not being here, we're not going to do Mike's wrestling minute, mainly because I forgot about it until just now. Right. But we are going to do a new thing, which is Joe's science moment.
Yep.
Joseph, go.
All right.
Science it up.
We're going to science this thing up. Basically, when Cody proposed doing this, I thought, well, let's, instead of just doing science, let's do what would be normally called STEM, or science, technology, engineering, mathematics.
Science.
Science. It includes all the major sciences and branches everything out. So a couple of things that have come up over the past couple weeks that I've seen is they have found a crater on Mercury that is 600 miles long and 250 miles deep.
Wait, reiterate that deep part?
250 miles wide. I misread that one.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, it was, oh, no, that is not the article that I wanted to go past to. There was a depth in here. This is where things should get better in the future as I
plan ahead
a little bit more, maybe like summarize things and write things out. And the discovery of enormous, so 600 mile long, 250 mile wide canyon will go, okay, it doesn't really tell you the depth, but
deep,
but it's pretty fucking deep. Tom Waters, a senior scientist at the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum, is quoted as saying that unlike Earth's Great Rift Valley, Mercury's Great Valley is not caused by the pulling apart of lithospheric plates due to plate tectonics. It is actually the result of the global contraction or shrinking of one plate planet. So unlike Earth, where you have, I believe it's seven plates?
I was going to say it's six or seven, right?
Six or seven plates that actually move around. That's how we get mountains. And that's how we get
magma
valleys and whatnot, as those plates shift and go underneath one another or push up, and that's how you get earthquakes as well. Mercury doesn't have that. So it's one giant plate. That's the whole surface of Mercury. And as it's cooled over the years, millions, billions of years, it actually contracts, and it just goes in on itself and actually makes those features on top that have existed because of meteor strikes and whatnot get bigger. Essentially, like, I guess, stretching a balloon over something as you try and, you know, pull it tighter. So that's the first thing.
So to add on that, out of curiosity, I was like, well, let's give a perspective to something here, because you mentioned something, but something near us here in Arizona, but people know here, that is famous for Arizona, which is the Grand Canyon.
Yes.
The length of the Grand Canyon is 277 miles.
Yeah.
So imagine this one thing on Mercury. The width is almost as long as the Grand Canyon is.
Yeah. Here, I finally found it in the article. It's 2 miles. The walls of the canyon are 2 miles.
Damn!
High. Yeah.
So if you went into it, you could be in the under 2 mile club.
Yep.
Nice. Unless everyone lived at the bottom, and then you go up to the top, and you'd be the two mile club.
Yeah.
Boom. All right. What's next?
So sticking along with the lane of geological features.
Ooh. Geological features.
It has been proposed in an academic paper submitted to the Nature Journal, or the Journal of Nature. Yeah, they literally have journals for everything. That there may be water on Pluto. Hiding underneath the surface.
Isn't Pluto frozen? Is that an ice cube?
But they don't know if it's water or not. There's different types of things that can freeze.
It's true. Vodka.
But they're looking at the, because of the images that were taken by the New Horizons spacecraft as it just fucking hauled ass by Pluto, that there's a lot of geological features within the, it's known as the Sputnik Plantasia, which is the heart that you see on Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that the left ventricle has a lot of the similar features of what you would expect from something that would be made of ice as it cools and as it heats up and whatnot. It has cracks and whatnot that would be...
fissures, as they say?
They would be features of what you would expect on something that would be made of water.
And they haven't been able to transmit video, right? It's just all photo, like shit ton of photos, right?
Yeah, it's all photos that they did.
But it's like photo. As it keeps going. That's what what I remember hearing or reading about is like as it's traveling, it's just taking and just sending back photos and photos, like gigabytes and terabytes of just photos are just piling up back here on Earth. And it's like I can't remember what it was that I read because it was a long time ago. How long did I say it takes for a photo to go from there to us?
Oh God, I couldn't remember. It was like 40 something minutes, or
yeah,
it was some ridiculous number, and I just can't remember.
So
what it
you
was.
Guys complaining about Wi-Fi speeds ain't got nothing on that shit. Because like, well, in The Martian, they said it was 7 minutes.
Yeah, I think it was a 7 minute
delay. So he asked a question,
and then 7 minutes to get to Earth,
and then 7 minutes to get back. So 14.
14 round trip for them. Yeah.
Goddamn.
Right.
That's agony.
You know what makes even worse, the New Horizons mission, is that the Science Channel had a thing about it a couple days ago that I was watching, and they actually lost contact with the spacecraft literally hours before it was about to do its Pluto flyby. So it traveled, you know, it's only millions of miles, and it spent, 4 years or something like that on its path there. Working perfectly fine, but in the last like 10 hours, they lost contact with
it. Right before the pass by?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it one of those things where like a shadow goes across and just breaks everything we have ability to communicate with those things?
I don't remember if they didn't say in the documentary what exactly caused the blackout. So I don't know if they know or not. So that's your geology. For the week.
Boom.
Last one.
Boom.
I made Cody watch before this.
Yeah. Terrifyingly awesome.
I know I had to watch this a couple of times
because
is terrifyingly awesome. And this past week, Elon Musk announced that all of their cars.
Current and future.
Just future.
I thought current ones too.
No.
Or is it just Model S that has current?
He said, and it's in here somewhere.
Oh no! Current ones will be self park.
Yeah,
future ones will be self drive.
It's the next generation of cars that they're going to be doing. All of them.
Yeah, all of them. That's what it
will feature self driving.
Gotcha. The self parking was the current models.
Yeah, self parking is the current models. Gotcha. I know that they can do it, but going forward with all their new vehicles, all their new model lines will have self driving.
I've been in a car. Not to cut you off. I've been in a car. I think it was a Mercedes that does the self park.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super creepy.
It looked super creepy. So they actually have a video, and if you go to YouTube...
I'll link it.
We'll link it. But if you go to YouTube.com and you just search for Tesla self-driving car demo, I believe it was.
Yeah.
It's a two-minute video. You know you're on the right track with the video because it has fucking Benny Hill music playing in the background, which for me was actually one of the most terrifying parts.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you think Benny Hill, it's like slapstick comedy and
speed
like people
up,
running around and it's all sped up and this and that. It's funny. And then you're watching this car who has to have a driver in it for legal reasons. They say it at the beginning.
Yeah.
But he's not literally controlling anything.
He doesn't touch shit.
Doesn't touch shit.
He doesn't really. I mean, he obviously works for Tesla because when you watch the video, it's sped up and the trip is very long. And I don't know. I could probably look it up and see where it was filmed. But it has horrifically narrow roads.
Horrifically. It's like
fog.
It looks like it starts out in a small town.
Yeah, this is like when for people who've been in like Seattle-ish area or like San Francisco in the winter, it's like that kind of fog. where it's just like chills in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Like you can't see very far. I'm not talking like middle of the night fog. I'm talking middle of the day fog where like the sun's out, but you can't really tell. And it's amazing to watch, but it's like I watched it once already. Like Joe said, I watched it once. It's terrifying, but exhilarating at the same time. But like that dude is sitting so chill in this car
He
has to have done this too many times before to even account, because he's super calm about it. Oh, yeah. Dude, I'd have been like flinching at the wheel every time. Like, I cringed a couple times in the video, but it's fucking impressive as fuck. I'll say that.
Like I said, it's scary. I watched it like two or three more times after that, because there's certain scenes that it goes through. And you like come up on the joggers running on the side of the road. It's literally just a two-lane road. So you're going one way, and there's traffic going the other way. And there's no shoulder, but there's these two joggers on the side of the road. The car recognizes the people, actually stops for a second because they get a little bit too close to the street, and then continues back on by itself.
And it's cool because it kind of does like a half steer around them, mm-hmm. in a way. Like in the lane still, but like just a little bit closer to the center line. But the cool thing, and I'm sure Joe was going to get to this, but I'll say it. The thing that I found cool about it, because it's the first time I watched it, was the right side of the video is three different views of what the car is seeing.
Yep.
Through the different array of cameras that it has. But also, the cool thing about it is it has overlays of mm-hmm. what the computer is seeing inside the video images. And it's intense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why you need to watch it a couple times, because I'm going to rewatch it. But just watching this one time, I kept going back and forth, because, like, it was blowing my mind that which I'm really glad they put that in the video, like edited it together that way, is you see all the calculations that have to go into it
mm-hmm.
just to make it. And when you say this is self-driving, I'm not talking like this isn't going from like one end of a parking lot to the other. This was going miles through a city or yep. a town.
Speeding up, slowing down, yep. stopping.
Stop signs, lights,
mm-hmm.
pedestrians. Cross traffic, the T intersection, which was
the T intersection, gave me a heart attack, because you can see cars, you can tell it's a T intersection. Cars are just going this way and that right in front of you. The Tesla car comes up to the stop sign, stops, then starts going. And I swear to God, it looks like it stops again for no reason at all at the end of its turn there.
I think it recorrects the steering
and then speeds up.
Yeah,
yeah, and it was super cool, but like, there were just parts where you're like, don't get hit. Don't get hit. Don't hit that thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you came so close.
There's a guy walking with a dog.
Yeah, towards the end of the video, yeah. right? Yeah.
And then, of course, the piece de resistance is when gets to his destination. It tells him he's at his destination. Dude gets out of the car, walks around the back of it. You can see him in the camera, and the camera recognizes him as a person. He walks away. And also the car lights back up, drives forward, parallel parks itself, then turns itself off.
Yep. I was like, that's so amazing.
So dope.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now, if every car could be like that,
well, then, you know, we'd be in a better world.
No accidents. Well, there might be accidents, but
not due to the self-driving cars.
Yeah.
Due to dumbass people that are all over the goddamn road, which is probably why you hear sirens in the background.
Yeah.
Some dumbass probably hit somebody for no reason.
But it'd be amazing for us to be able to get to that point where we could actually just, I want to go home. It'd be literally Demolition Man technology.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, I want to go home. Self-drive. And just, you're going home. Or what was the Will Smith movie?
Yep.
With the iRobot.
iRobot, yeah.
Oh, what's the movie with the robots and the Will Smiths? It's the iRobot.
With the cat and the wrecking machine, mm-hmm. which, by the way, for people who have been watching Westworld, and I'm not going to go into Westworld. I can't.
You would go into Westworld.
But Joe hasn't watched Westworld. It, so I can't really go into it. I'd like to spoil a lot of it and talk about it because I have questions. But speaking of iRobot, that scene where he's in the house and the wrecker mm-hmm. is doing it, that is terrifying.
Oh, that is terrifying.
Because you got to realize, yes, it's trying to kill him, obviously. Like, it doesn't want him to do its thing. But it's also like, I don't think the wrecker knew what it was doing. No. It was just wrecking the house. And you're like, dude, nothing. Like, obviously, in a real world, there would be something to stop it if it senses a human being.
Right.
But it's like, dude.
For that you instance, can't yell though, at that it. Was the rogue AI that was yeah. trying to kill him. So yep. it probably disabled like every single safety, yeah, safety measure yeah. that was supposed
but
to be
like,
in there.
You know, terrifying to be like trying to yell, like, I'm in here. And it's like, I don't care. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
Bleh.
But that's something I'd love to actually see in real life. I'd really love to be able to sit down in a Tesla, period, actually. But then actually to have it just drive me everywhere would be absolutely amazing.
It would be interesting to see. Actually, I could look it up and see where that video is actually at, but it looks very Seattle-ish, San Francisco-ish area, like Northern California, somewhere near the coast-ish.
Well, their main facilities, both for SpaceX and for Tesla, because they're right next to each other, is in Hawthorne, California.
Okay, so north of San Francisco.
So it's very possible that it starts in an area around there, and then actually the buildings that you're seeing at the end there, I didn't see any logos on those buildings, but it could have ended up in...
Looked like a shopping area, though.
A lot of people walk like a business area for me, though.
Yeah, like I said, I only watched it
we
once.
Can look at, yeah, we can look at for me, when I'm watching that video, I'm not... The first time I watched it, I was just watching the video itself and just trying not to, you know, cringe so much.
Oh, I cringed a lot.
The second time, I was trying to watch more of the videos on the side, and it's just really interesting to see the way it recognizes the road, the way it recognizes the lanes in the road, where it puts down... Because you have parts where it's just the yellow lines going down the center, but then you have nothing on the shoulder. Yeah. So it like puts down its own
guidelines
to show where the road is.
It's for people who haven't watched it yet, which, mind you, just pause this, watch it real quick, and then come back.
Mm-hmm.
But before you pause it, wait, hold on, I'll tell you in a second. It reminds me of how Tony designed the AI in Iron Man in the suit
mm-hmm.
when it identifies the flight pattern. Yeah. That's kind of what it reminded me of, but like more less human oriented, more of computer over, because it had like a bunch of laid on top of each other's squares mm-hmm. for measurement and stuff. But that's what it reminded me of. Okay, go ahead and pause it. Welcome back. That video was dope.
Mm-hmm.
For the people who don't, I'll try to remember to put the link in the description. But just look it up. It's dope.
Yep.
Boom.
That's it.
Joe's science moment.
Yep.
The moment is longer than a minute because it's not actually a duration of time. It's just time. And time is relevant. That's what I've learned.
Time is relevant.
To your distance from the point that you're spinning on. That's what I learned in Interstellar. It is because gravity with the thing.
If there's one thing that I took away from Interstellar.
Be lone. It don't have a family or people you care about if you're going to go into space and may not never come back.
Yeah, but you can't say that for Interstellar because that would fuck up the reason for Interstellar.
Granted, I know, I'm just saying, I guess, all right, if you're super smart, have someone you love so you can try to help us travel through space. But for me, I'd rather be like my entire family just dies and I'm like, well, I have nothing to live for on the planet. I'm going to go to space. But I wouldn't, because I've talked about this before on here. That terrifies me.
So you wouldn't want to be the first man on Mars? No.
If you could promise me I could come back.
No, because we're saying right now,
nope. Mm.
We can get there with
Tony. Jupiter?
Yeah, this is actually Jupiter. It's one of Apple's backgrounds.
I know, they're super dope, right?
Yeah.
Looks so good on the iPad Pro.
I'm going to admit, I nerded out for the first second. Yeah. Moon on the watch. Earth on the phone.
Did you do it?
Yeah.
Did you do it?
Jupiter on.
Did you rotate it?
Well, of course I did.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Of course I did. Because it's so cool that built right into Apple is these high resolution, very gorgeous images of the different, so far it's only a handful of planets, but.
They have Jupiter, Venus, Mars, and there's Earth, but there's another one. There's five, right?
Yeah, I want to say it's. Was it Saturn that was also available on the...
It might be. I can't remember if it had a ring or not. I think it did. Speaking of rings, so last week, and this will make Joe a little mad, I went to the Arizona Space Museum. No Saturn? What was it? There's five of them, right?
No, there was just those three
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I guess it's the watch that had the moon and the Earth was on the phone. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, I went to the Arizona Science Center without Joe. Last week.
Right, and why would you do that?
You were at work, I was not. Rare occasion of having a Tuesday off when Matt was off from work. on his 3-week long vacation. But we went there. It was cool, but it's definitely designed for kids more than adults. But the reason we went there is they're having an aliens and androids exhibit, which sounds, the description sounds amazing.
Yeah.
The execution is horrifically boring. It's just, it's essentially a science fair without the kids.
Which is the best kind of science fair.
Truly is. It was not very good, but the Science Museum itself, I've only been there one other time, and is when it was the Science of James Bond, and that one was pretty cool. That was years ago. I went with Hillary and Dan and some people. That was, like, so many years ago. It was cool because they had a lot of props in the movie and, like, showed, like, cross-sections and blueprints of, like, the way the vehicles and the technology would work, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool. The fact that, like, I remember the car, one of the cars, I think it wasn't one of the Aston Martins, but I think it was one of Sean Connery's, like, early ones. They showed that in real life, the gun wouldn't be able to fire from the position it was at because it would have been mounted too close to the fuel lines.
Oh, nice.
If it overheated, it would melt the fuel lines and they'd rupt the car.
Nice.
I was like, that's dope.
Did they have the submarine car there?
Yeah, it was super rad.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and like the fact how it would have to work, uh-huh. and like said, it would not be able to transform. It would have to seal the cockpit every time you close and open the door because mm-hmm. it wouldn't have enough ability. It would take too long on the go to do it. I was like, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But this one was let down. The only cool thing about it was, and it wasn't long enough, was they had a thing about the Curiosity rover. That was the first one to go to Mars, right? First rover to go to Mars. Am I right on that one?
Well, it was let me think. Curiosity, no, it wasn't the first. You had Sojourner and Pathfinder were the first.
Okay. This was Curiosity, which is the bigger one.
Remember
of the
little robot inside.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. This one was like, I didn't realize how big Curiosity was.
Mm-hmm.
So what made me realize how big it was, they did show like CG human beings next to it, whatever. They had a replica of one of the wheels there, mm-hmm. which I think I showed you the picture of.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. It's cool. The design's totally futuristic, obviously, which is weird because it's like real. But it's a tire that's like the suspension and the stability of the tire is built into the tire. So there's no air. It's just it's not rubber. It's probably something else.
Yeah.
But the outside, and it has ridges and shit like that. And then the inside is the looks like spokes. Mm-hmm. But it's also the suspension. Oh, super dope. But it's pretty big. It's way larger than I thought it was.
You want me to blow your mind a little bit more?
Go for it.
That thing weighs almost 2 tons.
The wheel?
No.
Oh, the Curiosity. That makes sense.
The whole rover.
The execution of getting it there, first off, I know why it took them as long as it did. Because they had to manufacture a shit ton of stuff to do it. But the science, the technology, the thought process to get this done. Like, I just imagine movie scientists be like, oh, this is our plan. Boom, we make it, right?
Mm-hmm.
These dudes were like, oh, so the atmosphere is less than ours, but it's still an atmosphere, so we have to worry about, you know, burning up and all that stuff and entering the atmosphere at a certain speed. And then, like, if we don't – yeah, see, that's way bigger. Like, that picture makes it look like Johnny Five.
No, right. And right now I just Google searched for a Curiosity rover and went over to images. But it's always funny, and I know even I did this when they first announced Curiosity and sent it over. When you think of rovers, especially when you think of spacecrafts and whatnot, you always have an envision. And they say themselves, you know, every kilogram counts. So, yeah. You know, you try and limit the amount of weight that you have. So especially looking at Sojourner and Pathfinder, they're much smaller robots. Yeah. So when you look at Curiosity, you're like, it must be a small robot.
No.
Because you don't really get to see it much on Mars, except for the pictures, you can assume that it's just a small robot. No, this thing's taller than a person.
Yeah, so to describe the wheel, the height of the wheel is past this dude's knees.
Yeah.
So, like, it tells you how, like, that's what, over a foot and a half, probably?
Yeah,
close to 2 feet?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, it's a big wheel. Like, when I saw it, I was like, And it said 1-to-1 scale replica. I was like, no, what? And then they show the video. It's cool because you get... I thought it was going to be more. It was just a screen, projector screen, and this is a weird little pod with just two seats you can sit in. I thought it was going to do something, but it didn't. But they show this, and all the stuff that went into getting it there, landing it, you would never, a normal person would never think of all that stuff. It's like, oh, you launch a rocket, the rocket goes down, lands on something, boom, there it is, and it just opens up, and, you know, Mike's asking about Moana. And you like you expect all those little things going to drive out, right? Mm-hmm. No, this thing is ridiculous. First off, we shoot it in a rocket into the space.
Yep.
Then the rocket detaches itself like our normal rockets do, right?
You lose the first stage and the
second stage. Second stage. And then the third stage doesn't get ejected until it's in flight to where it's going. Mm. And then it actually uses that third stage to push, which I thought was really weird. They didn't talk about too much of that. They talked a little bit. More of what the video was about was when they get there, it goes, and to make it land, the first part, it does like another set of breaking apart.
Yeah, because it has to start breaking apart the different shells of it.
Yeah, so it...
You end up with exposing the parachute first.
Yep, so it breaks loose of the main module, comes out, looks like a cone of a rocket. Parts break off, a parachute comes out, or first it's going through and it's burning up, and there's this plate on the bottom. That eventually gets ejected, and then when that goes, the parachute part comes out, starts to slow the whole thing down, but that's literally just to slow it down enough where the rockets don't rip off when it ejects the next part. Then that has a little holder that's holding this, I, again, thought little thing, massive fucking vehicle. That then, as it's going down, uses reverse thrusters to slow itself down even more. But then, because they needed to see where it's at and not bury itself, it can't land and drop it. It has to use these sky hooks to lower it down on these wires until just before it touches ground, lets go so it just drops like a couple inches, then flies off and just lands somewhere else. So we're littering all over this fucking planet already.
Oh, yeah.
But then this thing just, the wheels kind of roll out to the side. The little thing pops up and it just drives away.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, huh, that thing's a little cute little thing. And then I just read the sign again. I was like, that's actually a lot bigger than I expected it to be.
Yep.
It is fucking, it's massive. It's
massive. Yeah, the exact weightage is somewhere like 1,900 and something pounds. So it's actually just shy of 2 tons. And it's absolutely mind-boggling to think that that rover is that fucking large and that goddamn heavy. And the speed at which it travels is extremely slow.
Yeah, no, it's not quick.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Whatsoever.
And I know there was another thing. Hey, I was watching the Science Channel again.
What?
Where they were talking about this.
It's like me watching
food. And they wanted to go see, they wanted to go explore a hill or something like that. I can't remember what it was that they were talking about in the Science Channel, but they were saying that the process that they have to go through in order to just plan the route out is literally they have a replica of what they can consider a Mars surface.
Yeah.
So that they can see, hey, look, this side is extremely rocky, but this side is like super sandy. We're going to do this 1-to-1 scale of the rover. We're going to send it up the rocky side first, and then we're going to send it up the sand side and see which one it can traverse better. And it ended up being the rocky side that it could traverse better, because if anybody's driven through sand, you know that you can sit there and spin your wheels, and obviously you don't want this giant thing
getting stuck
on another planet
with no AAA to get it unstuck.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, hand sanitizer is the only thing that's going to make you survive leaving the science center, because it's disgusting.
Kids are in there all the time. Fun fact, I've never been to the science center.
I mean, it's fun to go to, but it's nothing like they have memberships. I was like, I would never come here again.
No.
Unless there's another thing you can try to trick me into going to.
And there will be.
There's an IMAX screen there that shows like videos and stuff, but I was like, I don't have time to watch this. The building's pretty cool, though.
I want to say 1 year they had the history of gaming there. Was it at the Science Center? I want to say it was.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, which would have been cool to go to because it was something. It was a exhibit that was traveling the whole entire United States.
Gotcha.
So they had literally every single game, or at least every single major game that had ever come out since fucking
ever,
like Pong or that weird on an oscilloscope.
Yeah, like way back in the Dizzy.
Yeah,
yeah. So that was pretty cool.
So getting back to the fact that you would never want to travel to Mars.
No.
At all.
I mean,
if you can't come back.
If I can't, I don't want to die there.
They've set up habitats. There's other people going to be living there. You could still get a hold of like video games and stuff because you could still get a hold of comics because they're going to send.
But
data
I wouldn't be the first
though
at that point.
No, you would be the first, but you'd be the first of a colony that, or at least a small shanty town.
So basically, I'd have to go there. I'd have to be first, and yes. Then like they would send all that shit.
Yeah. So we're thinking of like exactly like whatchamacallit movie, Andy Weir novel.
I'm the spacing, Martian.
The Martian. For some reason, I'm spacing out on.
I cannot remember what a guy on Mars would be called.
Get it? Spacing out.
Yep. You're so clever, Joe.
Uh-huh. Anyway, so they send the stuff first. That way they get it. That way it's there.
Okay.
And then you set up all the stuff. And you're just the first one to step foot. Sure, you're probably going to be with the people that you came with for maybe like a year. But then eventually
other people show up.
They will send more stuff that will connect together. And then they send more people.
Maybe. I just have a fear of dying in a horrific way. Same reason I don't go camping. Or go on a cruise. Or work on an oil rig. Other than the back-baking manual labor on the oil rig. But dying of a horrific death like that, where you like suffocate, you starve to death because some asshole forgot to bring the fucking proper soil nutrients or something. And I'm not smart enough to make my own poop.
Martian,
yeah.
You're not smart enough to make your own poop.
No, I'm not smart enough to make my own poop. I can't convert my own
shit.
Exactly. I can't convert my own shit because he didn't just take his shit and plant stuff in it.
No, he didn't. Like,
he took soil from out on the fucking red planet and made it with his own shit and then knew how long to keep the bacteria build up. So he had a culture built. I'm not that smart. If my toilet broke down right now, you're lucky I have a second toilet in my house. Because I would be like, I need to call a plumber. Stat. Like, is there a 24-hour plumber?
So you'd be even the worst person to have in a zombie apocalypse, too.
Yeah, I'm not good, bro.
Fair enough.
I'm not good. Like, fair I've enough. Never... Like, people are like, oh, what would you do in a zombie apocalypse? Shoot myself. That's what I would do. If there's no turning back, you can't say... Like, oh, we can just wrangle up in this little area and just leave Wyoming to them, right? No. Fuck you. I'm out. I'm checking out. I'm gone. I'm sorry. It seems super defeatist. Yes.
You know your limits, at least.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to burden anybody else. Because with my luck, I would be the person who got other people killed, and I would survive and have to fucking deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Some more people, like Eugene from Walking Dead, for example, he at least knows some stuff. I couldn't build fucking bullets. I wouldn't have the wherewithal to bite a dude in the dick to get away. I would just be like, well, I'm fucking done. I would just... Like, by the way, if you haven't seen Walking Dead, he bites a dude in the dick to get away.
Okay, so let's change up the scenario just a little bit.
Okay.
You can travel to Mars.
Okay.
With the ability to come back.
Okay.
But you have to do it reality TV show style.
Oh, you're done.
And your crewmates are exactly like Mars One. Where they're not scientists and stuff.
Nope.
But you get to come back.
Nope.
No?
Because I have to rely on those fucks and me to survive.
Because
if something goes wrong, they're not sending engineers. Why? Because engineers are smart, and they're the ones that needed on Earth to send those people, and they're not dumb enough, because we've had this conversation on this podcast, I think, before. Those people are smart enough not to be trapped on a ship that's going to a planet that they have to work with these other people to survive together. So, no go.
No go.
No fucking way. If I could be the one guy who they can send up with a shit ton of engineers and real astronauts basically used to babysit my ass while they try to keep me alive on another planet, I will be that guy. They'll be like, oh, you have to be the first one to touch down. Like, that's what we want. We don't want a science guy. We just want some fat idiot to be the first person landing to go on Mars. I'll be like, yes, as long as you fucks are intelligent, can fit, because I saw The Martian. I read The Martian first. You're welcome.
Yeah.
The shit he goes through, that, like, they're like, so if you haven't read The Martian, obviously amazing, it's science book. Fiction. It's an amazing book. The movie was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those times where the book was better, but not that much better.
Right, because they kept the movie pretty close.
There was a lot of stuff like stuff they chopped out for time, but it wasn't needed. It was just science stuff that was written in there, which is pretty cool because it's all based on real stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is that dude, like, they were like Andy Weir. I don't know if this is his idea or someone in science world that told him this. What you need to have is you need to have people who have multiple jobs and multiple capabilities. Mm-hmm. Like, he was a botanist.
But they also trained
on... And he was also trained in, like, medical, but also he was trained in, like, engineering.
That is actually something that NASA actually does. You do have the specialists, but...
Do you want to talk about movies? I can tell you movies.
All cross-trained to at least know how to do other stuff.
I'm cross-trained. Yeah. I can tell you about video games, and I can tell you about comic books. Is that useful to survive on Mars? No? Not to go crazy? All right, cool.
You never know. There could be aliens on Mars, and you've read a lot of alien stuff.
I will guarantee you they're not the same.
I'm not saying they are.
Yeah, no, they'll be like,
whoa, wait, guys. I saw the movie Arrival.
Yep, I got this.
Not that one with the... Not the Arrival. Arrival.
Arrival. I got this.
I can totally translate this.
Yep.
Circular ink block language.
Fuck you, you're going to die, we're going to eat your souls. I might have got that wrong! Run!
It's like a 90% chance I got that wrong, guys.
It's a 98.7% chance.
Plus or minus 90%. But that's
like 110% I got that wrong.
But I gave it 110%?
I did. Like, thank God. Or good glorp, or whatever the fuck these people believe in. These things. Yeah, like, no, I would not want to be trapped with a bunch of reality people, because those are the worst people. The people who would sign up for this, and I'm making a broad statement here, are retarded. Not like the mentally retarded. Like, these are the people that, like, as to show you that you shouldn't be this type of retarded, we would send them to Mars. We shoot the rocket into the sun because these people are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Now, to be fair, some of the ones that they interviewed that are, God, it's been months since I even looked at it, that were in the final stages of becoming finalists for the Mars One, there was one guy who was like a PhD mathematician, but his personality was awful.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. You still wouldn't...
No. Okay. Mainly because I would... Because those people, like... I would have the cabin fever murder people type situation where, like, he would annoy me so much that knowing that I couldn't get away from him anywhere, I would have to murder him.
Yeah, because the confines of I mean,
cabin fever would be so rampant.
They haven't exactly had like a final design yet for any type of
habitable
spacecraft that that humans could actually live in for long periods of time
to go somewhere. Because unlike the movies, the International Space Station, in the space shuttle, not known for their vast open areas.
No, in fact, their crew cabins. If you've seen the International Space Station, which I would doubt that you haven't.
Yeah,
is literally just a bunch of cylinders connected together. And one of those is literally just the crew quarters, and
it's bunks, just have basically.
I think it's like 6 feet by like 2 feet by 2 feet area with a curtain on one side and your sleeping harness.
Yeah,
because in some cases you don't even need the sleeping bag; you're just literally attached to
your
the wall.
5-point harness into the fucking wall,
and then you have your own personal computer that you can reply to emails and whatnot on. So all that within this, like, extremely small space, and that is your personal quarters.
Yep. That's where you go to be away from people.
But it's not really being away from people.
Nope, it's
literally
because it's
just
a fucking curtain.
No, the curtain's closed.
Don't talk to
me. I can't hear you. Curtain's closed.
When the curtain is closed, conversation is over.
Yeah. Slam. I slam the door. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Slam.
That's slamming.
It's just a shower curtain sound.
Yep. Ugh, no. There's no fucking way.
For something like that, even I think, I don't... I, no, correction. I would. If you sent...
You're a
fucking
monster.
No. Hear me out.
Okay.
Because in the annals of history, you know that the first person to set foot on Mars is going to be someone that is remembered. And
it's
do
true.
You want that person to be an awful, awful reality star?
No, I wanted to be a fucking scientist.
Exactly. So, if they have this, if they would launch first, Mars One, sending these reality people up there, I would rather have somebody that actually is an engineer,
yeah,
a scientist, or whatnot, basically trick their way onto the show so that they can be like, ha ha, bitches, I am the smart one. I am going to fix it, make sure everything runs perfectly fine.
And I'm going to be the first one.
First one on Mars.
But he would have to win the. He would have to keep that under wraps until he was selected to be the first person, because if not, one of those fucking star fuckers who wants to be famous would somehow make a mistake, do something to be the first one to touch Martian soil and cause problems, because he wants to be famous in the annals of history to be the very first person, and he would fuck everybody else over for it, because that's the kind of people who give up everything to go to a foreign planet to live.
Yeah.
It reminds me of an episode of a show, I can't remember what it was on. It was a detective show of some sort. It wasn't Psych, it was something else.
What?
I know, weird. Where there was these astronauts thought they were on they thought they were on Mars, and ended up being they were tricked, and they were just on a soundstage inside this like simulation. But they knew it wasn't real. They just didn't know it wasn't real at that time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyways, I think they should do that with these people. Find some way to simulate the habitats they would have to be in to see exactly how it would go, because you know they're gonna break.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way they're not going to just fucking snap.
Because the person, it's something that a lot of astronauts go through as well. Even going through the astronaut selection program, you're sat down with psychiatrists and whatnot so that they can identify the personalities that wouldn't work with other people.
But also just wouldn't break by themselves.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of psych eval that goes through it, but there's like a lot of straight up isolation where like, nobody talks to you. You don't get any communication outside the outside world. And you literally just have, like, in it's, I'm not too sure the number, but I'm guessing it's probably more than like a week. So that way, if you get cabin fever, if you lose your fucking mind, you know, they know before they ship you off for billions of dollars worth of technology to another planet to maybe be the first mass murderer on Mars.
Oh, God, right?
Because there's another person who's going to be the annals of history.
I'd be afraid that the first words on Mars wouldn't be very profound either.
No.
You know, you had Neil Armstrong, that's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. It's very profound in the idea that, you know, this is logically the next step of what we need to do. And then we need to make other steps after that. I'm afraid that somebody would be the first person on Mars in that scenario and just be like, yo, man, this shit is red.
Yep.
And you're like, that's great.
Or be like, hey, I'm the first person to taste Mars air.
Well, I would hope that. The other one would be,
get it on tape.
Huh, YOLO.
Oh. You just hurt my soul.
Right?
Well, the thing is, you know what's funny about that? How long does it take? How long does it say it's going to take to get there?
Depending on the engines that you'd be using, it could take up to a year, I believe it is.
Okay.
Years.
So by the technology we have now, say a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know how much verbiage and like slang changes in a year?
A lot.
They're going to say something like, really the coolest person ever, I said this. And they're like, back on Earth, like, Man, that's so last year.
Right.
It was like so last year. That was like forever ago. Like 6 months.
Yeah.
Because those people are the worst.
There was another article that I saw, and I've seen this thing a long time ago. It's known as the EM engine. It's to say it's experimental is to say that it's actually getting places, because nobody really knows how it works.
Getting places.
Yeah.
Because it's an engine. It's used for propulsion.
Yeah,
to
right?
go places. This is, man, you are good.
Theoretically, it could get you to Mars in 4 months.
Buh?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so they don't know how it works?
Well, because here's the deal is the way the...
Is it like they finally found through Elon Musk's like time portal that he lived
and,
that he came from?
And
because that dude's from the future. Go ahead.
It was basically something that I can't remember who thought it up. It, essentially, you have microwaves that are being generated. Sorry, it literally seemed like something just flew past me. It was weird. You have microwaves that are being directed in one direction, essentially down what you would normally think of a nozzle of a rocket engine.
Okay.
And there's a certain resonance that has to be obtained, and a small force can be generated with this engine
in the direction
of the thrust the direction which you would want to go. When I say small thrust, I mean something using an input of like 60 watts, I want to say it was. They got it was like 1 micronewton for every 5 watts of energy that you put into it.
But that's here on Earth.
Well, no, that's just in general. That's force that's applied.
Okay, gotcha.
So it's extremely small, and you know this is just
the output's not the output's drastically less than what the power needed to make it, right?
Well, the output...
Bad gas mileage.
Because it's not even that. It actually would have, theoretically, a very, very good gas mileage because you're not actually using any type of fuel except for energy. That's literally... You're not expelling any type of mass
outside of it. So you, like,
use
electric, like a bike and, like, pedal it to recharge it.
But that's the problem that people have with it. And they've run tests on this, by the way. And in some tests, they have confirmed that there is a very small thrust with inside of a vacuum that this engine is creating. The problem is that they don't know how this thrust is occurring, because with microwaves, you don't have mass.
Yeah.
So it's not expelling mass outside of it, but those photons actually have momentum. But you're breaking the laws of known physics with this engine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like zero-point energy.
Something like that, yeah. And... there's theories that at a certain point you would be putting out more energy than you would be putting in.
Oh, so like zero point energy.
Well, so more of like a perpetual motion machine.
Yeah, which is what zero point energy fake science propulsion is based on.
Mm-hmm.
With a little bit of force, you can create infinite more output. So you could, in comic books, zero point energy, it's a Marvel thing. That I do believe Mr. Fantastic discovered or invented or whatever. When he applies a certain amount of electricity into this device, it creates what's called zero point energy, which allows you to travel beyond the speed of light any point in time, or not in time, but in space that you wanted to, without having the effects of resistance. Because it breaks through past that plane of reality and goes beyond that. That's the idea behind it, roughly.
So I just remembered, I actually have the... there was a
nerd!
Right?
Go ahead.
I haven't finished reading it yet, so...
Probably because it's 1,005 pages.
It's like 20-something, does I book tell you? 34 pages long.
That's way longer.
But it's really dense. Even for me, it's like super dense with the science-y stuff, and there's a lot of stuff that... even I would have to sit there and go, what the fuck is that you just said? You made up that word, didn't you? Type Google. Okay, now I have to go and understand all of this just to understand what that goddamn word was. The journal, it was published in, what journal was it? Oh no, this wasn't the journal publishing. There was a journal that published this paper, but this is the directly from the NASA Johnson Space Center.
Johnson.
So the original people that had made this, they published their own paper, and so this is what NASA went through because they got that, and
all the people made it public.
Yeah, well, that's what you do. Oh, you make it public, in this stage of the scientific theory, it's other people trying to replicate the
and push your results. Gotcha. Okay.
Because you could have something that's like, we cured cancer, and then somebody else comes along and says, no, you did this wrong. You did this wrong. You know, your samples.
Because you can't. They didn't actually do it.
Yeah.
It's a theory that has a little bit of testing behind it.
So it's other people that are trying to recreate the theory, and that's what this was. NASA actually
theoretical physics
made this. You go through this paper, which is called The Measurement of Impulsive Thrust from a Closed Radio Frequency Cavity in a Vacuum.
Wow.
If you've never read a journal paper for science,
those names are awful.
Their titles are awful.
They need to get some comic book writers in there.
They're awful.
That is not a good acronym.
But if you go through here, and this is the amazing part of this freaking engine, where's the picture, is that the NASA guys literally...
Does it look like a toaster?
No, NASA guys literally built it in their house on a dining room table.
Goddamn nerds.
They show some final products here, but I thought they had a picture. There's pictures out there that you can see of, like, you know it's a dining room table, and it's just like this copper cone... Yeah, it's not in this one.
It's like seeing the first versions of the Macintosh computer.
This one's, more official. Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Heap of wire and chips and green shit with a fucking hideous fucking display on it just in a garage.
Yeah. But that's essentially the engine itself right there. I'm showing Cody.
Which looks like any engine you've seen tested. I mean, it looks smaller.
Yeah, and that's because it is
obviously
physically smaller.
You're not gonna make it.
This one
feet
was even
wide.
Is even smaller than the original one that the
they're trying creator to they're that. Trying to recreate it as efficiently as possible.
Yeah, with this one, however, they or no was yeah
it's
it was
just
this one
facing a wall.
Well, that's because it's in a vacuum chamber.
I know it's just funny. It's like not like you expect if you ever seen a wind tunnel, like this long cavity of a room that they can create. You know, the using the wind tunnel to create, you know, resistance and stuff when they test cars and flying vehicles. This is like literally the back of it. What to me, a layman, looks like the back of the engine is facing like direct into a cement wall.
Yeah, I suppose that. Yeah,
it's what it looks like.
Yeah,
that's funny. Thrust mounting configuration. Heat sink is black finned into. Oh, okay. So it looks like a heat sink.
Yeah.
I've opened enough computers to know.
That's yeah.
That's exactly a dope ass looking heatsink, though.
For my Thermodynamics 2 class, at the very end, we did a project.
Oh, you guys built heatsinks?
No, I had to do a thermal study of
heatsinks
of whatever you wanted it to be. That literally ends up being almost the exact design.
Heat sinks are ridiculous.
Yeah,
my last computer I built was a giant heatsink.
Mm-hmm.
My thermal take case.
That's pretty much what a lot of computers really need.
Should be. Hey, speaking of which, not to divert this, do you know where to buy those crazy desks that you can build a computer into?
Online.
Yeah, do you know where we can go? Like, is there a place we can go to look at them?
Oh, go to look at them? No, I've never seen a place that you can go to look at them. I just
that
know
one
that,
time at Comic-Con. I've never seen them again.
Lillian PC? And Silvertone, I think it is. They're case manufacturers. I know Lillian. I'm pretty sure that Silverstone makes one as well, but yeah, they're super dope looking, and then you realize they're like $13,000.
Yeah, no, I just want one. I don't want one of the crazy ones. I just want a desk that I can put all the computer into.
Oh no, the Lillian ones, they're your glass desk that you have here. That's what the top is.
Yeah,
so you can see the components and shit on the inside.
Because I want to build one.
You have they have multiple models, one that you can fit two computers into, you know, because if you want to, why not? You know, there's another one that could fit a full-size computer and then, like, a mini PC. Because why not again? Why not?
Yeah, might as well. I just want to build one so I can have a gaming computer that doesn't take up more room. Because I'm running out of space and I want a gaming computer.
It would be nice to have a gaming computer.
But if I was thinking, if I have a desk that is a computer, I can still mount my iMac up here, have a monitor next to it or whatever, and not have a tower on the floor that I kick or whatever, or just is in the way in general. You know what I mean? Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. No, I right there at the beginning of the paper, it says that the average thrust of this was 1.2 millinewtons per kilowatt input.
Yeah, it's pretty small.
It's pretty small. Yeah.
Hmm. But it's promising.
It's very promising. The only other problem that that they had was with, I believe it was NASA's, because a couple of other scientists actually recreated the engine, and the one of them just turned the engine on its side and still managed to measure the same amount of thrust.
Interesting.
In the direction of the
output
of the thrust measuring device.
You're so scientific, Joe.
I space out on names and shit a lot. I know the device. I can't think of what it's called.
Thrustometer.
Torsion pendulum. Sorry, that's what it was.
Thrustometer for the people who don't want to. That's not even a real. Oh, it was a real thing.
Torsion
it was an actual
pendulum.
Thing.
Torsion pendulum.
Torsion pendulum.
Yes.
That sounds like something a doctor would use to measure a vagina.
No, it literally is something that you're like, God damn, that's a fucking fancy word for basically a pole with another pole on it that
measure shit.
That when you put force on this end here, it causes this end to twist, and then you just have like a fucking sensor on it that tells you how much to twist, and based on the material and the amount of twist, you can get the amount of force that was applied to it.
Seems like a lot of work.
Fucking science.
To get a like you ever like to me, maybe it's just me, like you ever wonder like those laser thermometers you see on the television shows?
Just make
those
shit
are
up.
Like just like that's just that's not real. Like
just
that's
make shit up.
It's like
it's,
yeah, it's 104 degrees.
104 degrees.
Mm. Does that sound right?
That guy's not gonna know.
Those idiots will never know. When I say that, I'm like talking like cooking channel shows, like Food Network shows. They use those like Alton Brand uses all the time. It's like, oh, hot enough to cook cookies. I'm like, that can't be real. You can't shoot a laser beam and get a temperature gauge. It shouldn't work.
But you can.
Yeah. Fucking science, man.
Yep.
I just, it's like, no. Man, I know, I want, if you can give me a laser that tells me the temperature shit, I want a knife that can cut bread into toast.
That actually could be done. There was a razor that was on,
slow.
Yeah, there was a razor actually on Kickstarter that,
burns hair off your face?
Yeah, it used a laser to cut the hair.
Fuck you. I have way too much hair. I'd go up like a Roman candle.
Oh, no. Yeah, you would. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, you would look.
Like, that's the thing you want to do to, like, shave your legs if you're a lady or.
But I saw legs. That and I was like, I really want that.
Of course you do. No, you wouldn't. You'd be like, ha! Oh, fuck.
Baby face again. No, I'd do my neck, you know.
No,
the vital areas.
I don't trust it. The vital areas? Not my balls,
not
in other words.
My balls, though.
I would put it near my genitals.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't be gelding myself with it. It can't be like I don't know. That seems like something that does shit shouldn't need.
It
now.
It never went anywhere. The last
I'm sure.
time I saw, yeah,
because it sounds like a bunch of hokum.
Yeah,
snake oil and shit. No, but like if you don't know what I'm talking about, if you've ever seen Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the movie,
take a towel with you wherever
it's
you
true.
Go.
It's very true. Always have a towel.
Always have a towel.
Zooey Deschanel's character, Trillian. They're on board the Heart of Gold, which is the ship they're on, and she pulls out this handle and hits it, and like a lightsaber beam comes up, and she goes, look at this. It makes toast, and she cuts a loaf of bread into a piece of toast.
Uh-huh.
I'm like...
It's a weapon.
I fucking want that. Like, I don't care. Like, I want it, like, if you could give it to me where it's safe, or if I touch a human being, like those kid scissors, they don't actually cut you, but somehow can cut paper. Yes, I want one.
But it still has to give off heat to toast.
Yes, I know, so it's but still it's like, be dangerous. But the thing is, the field it generates only toasts the molecules that bread are made of.
Oh, okay.
I don't know the science,
bread?
Joe.
Is this bread? It's bread. All right, let's toast this.
It needs, like, maybe it has, like, a Tesla camera that can identify bread versus a human being. So I go to stab Joe for making fun of my science thoughts. And it doesn't hurt him. It's just, like, you ever seen Venture Brothers?
Yes.
He makes a lightsaber, and it doesn't actually work. It's just a flashlight.
Yeah.
He goes, wah, wah, and he goes to hit somebody. It's a beam of light goes right through him.
Yeah, and it's exactly like Futurama, the baton sticks that you see for the first time. And you're like, oh, don't cut that dude in half. And they're just, like, actually beating the dude with
it. Exactly. It's just like, I want that. So when I hit you, you're just like, well, that's inconvenient. You poked me with a bar of light. But if you were bread, you'd be toast. Get it?
Well, I would want, then, every time that you hit the button to just have this a voice shout out, this bread is toast.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'd go for that.
Toast you later. I just want that kind of science in my life.
Fair enough.
And I want a self-driving electric car.
Fair enough.
Which is closer to happening than my toast knife.
Yeah, exactly.
Having a lightsaber, way too much work and pressure. But if I could have a safety...
Have you seen the guy that made a plasma...
Yeah, the plasma sword thingy?
Plasma sword thing, yeah.
Do you see how much power it fucking uses?
No, I didn't, actually.
That's not working. That's not happening.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, do we have any movie stuff, news, things?
We saw Moana.
Moana?
Moana, whatever it is. I'm not Hawaiian. I can't say it. I'm dumb. Fantastic movie, by the way.
It is actually a really good movie.
See it in 3D if you get a chance, in theaters. The 3D is phenomenal.
3D was really good.
The graphics, I can't say special effects because none of it's real, even though it looks real. Unbelievable. Like, mm-hmm. The shit they're doing is just, like, when we saw Finding Dory and the little short they did before it, which is, the name is escaping, Piper.
Yeah, Piper.
The visuals are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. The grains of sand, the water itself, mm-hmm. even Piper, the feathers and like getting wet.
It looked photorealistic.
So fucking real. And this is not supposed to look real. It's supposed to look animated, mm-hmm. like all Disney
animation
does, like Frozen and Wreck-It Ralph and Big Hero 6, all those ones, Tangled. They look like cartoons, mm-hmm. but they have realistic movement of hair, water, wind,
the
lighting
sand,
is just
the soil. The,
oh, the soil. Yeah.
When I can't remember the mountain. Gaia, essentially.
Yeah.
Whatever her name was, the mountain. Not
the
Game
mountain.
Of Thrones. Yeah.
The Lady Mountain.
But she goes and grabs like a bunch of. Dirt and starts making up all the flowers and whatnot, and I swear to God,
when she's putting her hand through the lava sand,
it just looks like dirt.
It breaks apart. And like, mm-hmm. you ever been like, for the people who've actually been to somewhere like that has a beach, lakes work too, but really ocean, sand or soil that's been just steeped in water for a long, long time reacts differently than sand like, you know, in the middle of the desert.
Yeah,
it clumps together, but then when the water goes away, it breaks apart and stays kind of solid, but then literally flakes. That's what it looked like. She put her hand in it, and it had resistance, and then it broke under the pressure.
Yeah,
but stayed and clumped, and then fell. It was gorgeous.
Absolutely gorgeous.
It's mind boggling. And the funny thing about this is, they're pumping these movies out really quickly. Like, I know they're planning them years ahead of time, and they're doing a lot of stuff, but it's like they're drastically coming. Like every year, Disney / Pixar or just Disney or just Pixar has a movie that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was it last year? They had Inside Out and they had The Good Dinosaur.
Yeah.
Which are both Pixar movies. Mm-hmm. They came out the same year, which is uncommon. But both of them were terrific movies. One sadder than the other.
Yeah.
I'll let you guess which one. Good Dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Bing Bong was sad. Wait till you see Caveman Death.
Yeah. super sad. This movie, this movie had some sad
moments. Movie had some sad moments in it, but fantastic moments. The Rock was amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
He was fantastic as Maui.
I loved his tattoo, too.
Yeah, yeah. The interaction with him and, like, the tattoo was hilarious.
Sitting there fucking fist bumping it on his bicep and stuff.
So
funny. Oh, my God.
Whoever thought of that whole thing was
fantastic. When it hugs him, you can actually see
the bicep. Yeah, it pulls in on the bicep. Yeah. Or, even from a distance, too.
Yeah.
Like, from a far away, you still saw the indention on the pec. Oh, it was hilarious. So, yeah, highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. Bring tissues, because it's the sadness.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's a great movie, great effects in it, great graphics. Good story.
Very solid story.
It had a twist in it, which I'm not going to spoil for you. No. I didn't see it coming at all.
Mm-mm.
Nothing. It was pretty dope.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, enjoyed it a lot.
Yep.
And with that, it's a closing because we got to go to our second movie of the night. We're going to see Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. But yeah, that's it for this week's episode of Comes Naturally. We are
Joe.
I am Cody. And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Science, motherfucker.